Tonight, James makes shit up, Mike's wife makes a cameo, and we do massive quantities of cocaine.
RawPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike!
And we've been doing cocaine all morning! No, not really. We don't support cocaine. Although I do support legalization of cocaine, because I don't care, but I don't think you should do it.
That makes no sense.
I support...
Why do you want to legalize something that you don't believe people should do?
Responsible.
I don't. You know what? I don't even care about your side of the argument. Yeah. You made no sense. You contradicted yourself in one sentence. I don't care.
I believe pot should be legalized, but I don't think it's necessarily the best thing in the universe.
Oh, it is the
but
best
I think,
thing in the
I
universe.
I think for calculated uses, it could have... Like, much like cocaine used to be prescribed because it actually did do some medicinal things. Did you know that actually cocaine on the schedule of drugs is located on a less... penalty than marijuana because marijuana is deemed to have no medical uses by the federal government. By the federal government.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is why it's so hard to get it to be used for medical marijuana. That's why the states have to overrule the federal government because the federal government is dumb.
Well, interestingly enough, cocaine actually is still currently used in surgery. It's a blood clotting agent.
That's why it's scheduled less harshly than marijuana.
But they fucking have prescriptions for marijuana and shit. It actually is helpful.
Yes.
It really is.
Which is why I'm saying that cocaine should be legal. Because I don't... okay, Mike. If cocaine was legal, would you go down to the store and buy some right now?
No.
Exactly.
I mean, I know a lot of people that probably would.
Right, but there are probably people that would want to do it anyway.
Yeah. I have zero interest in doing it.
Exactly. Cocaine. So... And, you know, the jails are... You know how many people we have locked up in jails for dumb things like that that have no... Okay, they have no victims, but except for, you know, they do cocaine, so they have to go to jail, and now you're sucking on the system, and it's going to make it hard for you to get a job the rest of your life, so you got to get on welfare because you can't get a job.
I mean, okay, it's like this. If a guy gets high on fucking some form of narcotic and goes out and like kills somebody or robs a bank or or rapes a bunch of women or something like that, arrest him for the crimes that
yes!
he committed.
Yes!
Don't arrest him for fucking being on cocaine.
Exactly.
Or being on heroin or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's victimless fucking crime. I personally think if a person wants to imbibe of some sort of fucking narcotic, some form of fucking chemical, let them fucking imbibe, and if they cause trouble... Bust their asses for the trouble
for
they
the
cause,
trouble. Yeah.
Not for the fucking experience that they're wanting to have.
Yeah.
Stupid shit.
Yeah, I mean...
Just the federal government sticking its goddamn nose in another fucking place where it just does not fucking belong. But they have... But I don't know. I don't get what they get out of it. Yeah. I do not get what the federal government gets out of illegalizing all this shit. I mean,
people
if
in jail?
You legalize, okay, yeah, you put people in jail and you spend money fucking taking care of them.
Nancy Reagan's ridiculous war on drugs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All D.A.R.E. ever did was make kids more aware of drugs and start taking them later on.
Yeah.
I've seen the fucking statistics. Stubby, just stupid fucking shit. Stupid fucking shit.
Which, we're 3 minutes in, we're already super off topic. Awesome. We're set a new record.
Fuck yes, but I just wanted to make one more point. If the federal government wants to make money instead of waste money, of course, when has that ever fucking happened?
Yeah.
Legalize all the drugs and tax them.
Yeah, which, I don't like taxes, but, it, I mean, I... I'm kind of okay with sales tax for the... I don't like income tax, but I'm... If you're going to have a tax, I can at least see a reason for a sales tax over an income tax.
Uh-huh.
You're taxing people for being productive. Dumb. Taxing people for spending money. That's... I mean, if you're like, James, would you like to get rid of all taxes? Yes, do it right now. You can't do that? Which one would you get rid of? Income tax.
I personally think this. There is one branch of the federal government. There's one section. And that's the United States Postal Service, which is a federal institution.
Yeah.
They run entirely on profit. They're the only branch of the government of any part of anything that runs entirely on profit. I say make every part of the government run on fucking profit.
Get rid of the fucking departments. Close up so quick.
Taxes is just a fucking lazy, stupid, goddamn way of fucking getting people. It's like, we don't want to fucking actually have to work for this money, but we want you to work for the money and give it to us.
You know what? Now that I think about it, you remind me of an article that I saw that I wish we would have picked for today's show, but we didn't. So I'll just sort of mention it. You know, everyone's argument, like, well, if there wasn't no government.
Oh, good God.
What's their response? If there wasn't no government, then
there'd be total chaos.
No. There'd be would pave the roads?
Oh, yeah. Who would pave
the roads? Who would pave the roads? Which are shitty anyway. Some town, and I can't remember the name of the town, they fixed that solution. Their town is broke. Their roads are like potholed and torn to shit, so the poor-ass government there can't fix them. They're shitty.
Right.
Crowdsourcing. They're fixing the roads themselves through like crowdfunding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people are fixing their damn roads. Like, it's like a Kickstarter to fix the fucking roads, and people are going out there and putting the labor. You know what? When people do that, they don't waste all the time holding the damn shovel. They go out there, they fix that shit, and they go home.
Yeah, because they want to fucking get it done so they can go home.
Yes, and, I mean, to be honest, you know, I would probably do that. You know, it's like, hey, this road's really shitty. I'll go help you guys fill in these potholes so I don't have to fucking tear up my suspension driving on it.
Oh, and it just all boils back down to everybody wants everybody else to do the shit for them. That's all it is. That's why we're so government fucking dependent. Well, if it did, who would do this? Who would do that? Do it your goddamn self!
Yeah.
Do it your goddamn self! Take a fucking page out of these motherfuckers' books and fucking grow some fucking balls and initiative. Yeah. Shit.
I'm actually more surprised that the city isn't trying to stop them from doing their responsibility that they're not doing. Oh, I'm actually proud that the city's like, okay, yeah, we can't do it because we're broke. We manage our money wrong. You guys want to do it. Normally, the government gets in the way. Like, that's what they do. This government, for whatever reason, was like, fuck it. Go ahead and do it, guys.
Dude, a few years back, and I think it was in some western state, possibly California, but I won't swear to it.
Let's just say it was.
These fucking volunteers, I mean, this just group of good Samaritans got together, went out, and one of the main strips in their fucking town was like pothole filled and shit like that. They went out and bought the fucking paving material, didn't ask anybody for help, went out there and started filling in potholes and fixing the fucking road.
California
they
shut
all
it down.
Got arrested.
Yeah.
They all got arrested, and as part of their sentence, had to go back up there and dig up the fucking potholes they fixed. Made them undo the good goddamn work, and guess what? It was still like another few years before those potholes ever got fixed by the city.
I really feel like in the future we're going to have another government rant episode, but not this episode. This time we have good things planned. We're already 7 minutes in. Let's not even do our normal banter, because we bantered the fuck out of this episode already.
We bantered this one straight up the ass with no lube.
Yeah, so I don't really think. What do we have coming up in today's show?
Coming up on today's show, I'm going to be talking about how, somebody's finally fucking got a good idea and are letting National Guardsmen in Tennessee carry fucking weapons on base in recruiting offices. We're going to be talking about how a man has finally had enough and starts his own damn country out on an abandoned platform in the middle of the ocean. Our main topic is going to be how to survive a blackout and power outages. And we're going to be reviewing the Nestle Media Crema Table Cream.
That was really good. I mean, you spoke Spanish just like Ron Burgundy there.
You know I don't speak Spanish. But before we get into that, let's give a few shout-outs to
CampingSurvival.com!
Yeah, those people.
Home of
the Carne Bar. No, wait, that's Well Food.
The Survival Life Straw!
The Survival Life Straw for drinking cow food.
And the best place that I know online to get fish antibiotics that you should be storing for the long-term collapse scenario that we all think may or may not happen because the government is getting dumb. Oh my God! Fucking.
We're just.
I got another tangent to go off. Well,
we're not
going to
put dogging on the government. Let's get to the spot.
This is a private company that I have to dog. But anyway, campingsurvival.com, the home for all your bug in and bug out needs. Everything from, like I said, the survival life straw that you can use to drink right out of the creeks and rivers on a bug out, fish antibiotics, and some other good stuff. Campingsurvival.com. Click the banner right hand margin. Of survivalpunk.com.
But before we get into the rest of our sponsors, what's your tangent?
No. Let's just finish off Mai Tai coffee and then
Mai Tai. Okay, Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
The best coffee that you can get
on
either
side of the planet.
Yes, on this side of the pond or the other.
Exactly.
Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee. Organic, fair trade, grown in Thailand, which turns out to be the perfect climate to be growing copy. Mm-hmm. They just discovered like these trees that are put out there. And then the workers there get paid a fair wage so they can support their families and not go starving. And proceeds from the sale of Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee goes to support local orphanages that provide medical, housing, schooling for these young orphans.
And even if they didn't do all that, it's just really, really good coffee.
It's a damn good cup of joe.
I mean, you order it by, like, big boxes full, and it's gone in, like, no time. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, last time I ordered $100 worth, I think like 10 pounds of coffee, it lasted 6 months. So I need to get up another $100 order.
Hells yeah. Everybody out there, you need to get up a $100 order.
Yep.
But to get to them, please go to survivalpunk.com and click on the banner on the right-hand side.
Faux show.
All right, now what is your tangent?
Saw an article this morning. I'm just going to make this real quick. So in order to break up the gender diversity and make kids feel more inclusive, Target is now going to remove the segregating of boys and girls toys to make it just now toy sections. So there'll be Barbies next to G.I. Joes.
Okay.
They won't have a boys aisle and a girls aisle. It'll all be intermingled.
Well, that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, all this like...
Good God, there's a reason that shit's in sections, and it's not gender separation. It's so the parents know where the hell the stuff is.
Yes, I thought of two good things about that.
I like there being a pink goddamn aisle, because I know where to shop for my daughter.
Right, and you know the blue stuff or whatever for your boy. But this way, I was like, from a marketing standpoint, what genius. Now you have to walk up and down all the aisles. Because you, and I mean, they can increase your, just like they put in the milk in the back of the store, you have to walk through the whole store to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you shouldn't drink milk. Fuck you, milk. But yeah, another point, I know when I was a little boy, I wouldn't walk down the girl aisles. The Barbie aisles, wouldn't go down it. Fuck that shit, this is gay. I wouldn't go down it. So now I'm like, little boys are going to have to walk next to Barbies. I don't want to live in a world where boys have to go next to Barbies, because girls are gross. They got cooties and shit. Anyway, let's jump into our real news article of the day, since we've...
I can't believe you just said, girls got cooties
and girls shit. Got cooties and shit!
You just lost, like, our only 3 female listeners.
Oh my God. Girls know they got cooties.
Ugh.
Get off the screen. Let's read...
The views expressed by James Burnett do not significantly represent the views represented by the entirety of the Survival Punk podcast.
It definitely represents 50% of it.
Actually, I think it's only 49%. I weigh a bit more than you. I think I'm at least 51%.
Tennessee Army and National Guard can now carry concealed firearms at state armories and facilities.
About fucking time. Too bad it took like 4 or 5 guys dying before it happened.
Yeah.
But let's get right into the meat of this.
It was announced Thursday that Army and Air National Guard members with valid Tennessee concealed carry permits can now carry their firearms at state armories and facilities. I wonder if this works for Fort Campbell, since it's sort of Tennessee and sort of Kentucky and just sort of intermingled. Yeah, anyway.
Probably.
The move comes after the deadly attacks that took place in Chattanooga last month that left 4 Marines and 1 sailor dead. We have been very deliberate in making these decisions to arm our Tennessee National Guard, Major General Max Haston said in a statement.
This is not a step that we take lightly. But it is apparently that military personnel have been targeted, and the protection of our soldiers and airmen is of utmost importance. Physical security and risk assessment is something that we continually do as part of our day-to-day obligations, the Major General said. We hope to see the trend progress across the country so that men and women of our armed forces are able to adequately protect themselves against those who wish to do them harm.
And that is the entirety of the article. Excellent.
Well, what else needs to be said?
Pretty holster.
What else needs to be said? I mean, shit. Yeah.
This comes from concealednation.org.
They need to just make that a nationwide thing. I mean, yes, it's great that Tennessee, my home and native land.
Yes.
Oh, Tennessee.
Was, I think, the first to take action, which I can quickly see Texas following suit. I'm surprised Texas hasn't after... is it Fort Hood in Texas? They had a shooting there with a guy that shot a bunch of people on base.
One of my best friends lives at Fort Hood.
Yeah.
He's stationed there.
I know he'll be very happy if they allow him to carry.
They just fucking need to just come off their high horses and do it nationwide.
Yeah, which, and I was looking into it a little bit, it's not even, they're having to take weird extra things through, like, legislation to do that. Like, I'm not sure if this was, I don't know if this general guy made the decision there to allow, because I know it was handed down from the Pentagon to take these actions.
Oh.
So it's a non, executive? No. Legislative branch? It was a military branch that laid down.
Yeah.
So, I really think it's irresponsible of our military leaders to impose that on them. Like, if you can't trust our soldiers, who can you trust?
Yeah.
They're the ones that we put our faith in to protect us, to protect our freedoms.
And if you're worried about certain members of the armed forces, going crazy with their guns on base, have a better screening system at fucking recruitment.
Yeah.
I didn't go through any psychological screening when I enlisted. None.
That's scary.
Not a fucking second of it. Though they gave me a test to assess my skills, to assess my knowledge, and shit like that. Other than that, I went through nothing. I mean, and I had a physical.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a psychological assessment. They checked my eyes. They made me turn my head and cough. Not proud of that. Almost farted on that dude.
Nice.
I wish I had.
Yeah.
Any fucking way. And they did a shitty job in the physical, by the way. I had scoliosis, and I had a degree of scoliosis that would should have made me completely not eligible for enlistment. I didn't find this out until afterwards when I threw out my back. But that doctor ran his finger up my spine, tracing it, had to have seen that I had a fucking bend in my back, and still let me go on through. So they need to have psychological screenings at the time of enlistment. I mean, you do that, you weed out the fucking undesirables, let all the good people carry their fucking guns on base to protect the goddamn selves.
Yeah.
It's sad they have to leave this fucking country in order to fucking be able to protect themselves.
I still think restricting it to concealed carry holders isn't even far enough. Like, I know a lot of the military are concealed carry holders, but not all of them are. And all of them, to be past basic training, they are proficient in firearms.
Yes!
Or you don't get past it.
Exactly.
I know my ex-girlfriend was all happy that the Navy gave her a ribbon of excellent marksmanship with a rifle.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you gotta learn how to use it. I mean, proficient. So, if you're gonna allow them to use a firearm to defend people overseas, why not defend themselves here?
Yeah.
When they're being made a target. So, I think it's a step in the right direction. Any step in the right direction is a good step, but it needs to keep going.
No, and this needs to have been something that's fucking been in effect since fucking Pearl Harbor, if you ask me. I mean, our soldiers, I mean, they sign up, basically, I mean, they enlist, they fucking take an oath to die for this country. I think they should at least have a fucking fighting chance to not have to.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah,
definitely after some of the Army base shootings, it should have been repealed
and this,
taken care of.
This article we just read, this would not even be a thing. We would not have just read this article if five men hadn't had to fucking die for it.
Right. And possibly, I hope the guy that defended himself with a firearm does not end up having a legal action. I hope whatever military judge and JAG officers that is, they need to drop that case. They need to throw it out and say, no, we're not gonna do this.
That's probably some fucking conservative, liberal piece of shit, whatever the fuck, sitting on the goddamn fucking dais.
You don't even know which one it is.
I don't even care which one it is any fucking more.
You damn lefties.
The lefties and the righties are all about as fucking useless.
Yeah.
I hate extremists. I hate political and religious extremists.
Yeah. That's why I'm in the middle.
That's what.
So let's move into something that will possibly not make us angry.
I hope it doesn't.
This comes from Ozzy.com. OZY.com.
Yeah.
Flashback. Aussie. So whatever this website is, I saw it shared on Facebook from UK Prepper Girl. And a pop-up keeps coming. Everyone dreams of staking claim to a desert island, but few pull it off. Former British Army Major Paddy Roy Bates was a bit more proactive. He created his own country back in the 1967, and the tiny space is still going strong. Holy shit. Yeah, I've heard about this guy. The Principality of Sealand, located on a World War II fortress 6 miles off the coast of Suffolk, England, was established by Bates as a potential base for a pirate radio station. Interesting. Huh. He declared himself head of state and introduced a constitution and a national anthem. Today, it boasts its own currency, postage stamps, and official passport.
Awesome. Sealand started life as Fort Ruffs in 1942, one of several concrete and steel islands constructed by the British to fend off German invaders. It was home to 150 servicemen and antique aircraft guns until it was abandoned in 1956. British territorial waters extended only 3 miles from the coast back then, so the fort became terra nullius, or land belonging to no one. No one, that is, until Bates showed up on September the 2nd, 1967, declared it an independent principality and dubbed himself Prince Roy and his wife Princess Joan. The British government acted swiftly, destroying other forts outside British waters, but didn't challenge the new prince's claims. Folks can visit Sealand, but it's suggested that you send a note first.
Peace prevailed. Oh, nice. For about a year. In 1968, workmen fixing navigational buoys. I had a weird... Yeah, I know that word. But anyway. Buoys shouted obscenities at Prince Roy's 16-year-old daughter, Penny. Her brother, Michael, 14, encouraged them to leave by firing warning shots.
Holy shit.
Firing shots. Firearms charges were filed on the mainland, but dismissed by a judge who declared a UK courts have no jurisdiction.
You're damn right they didn't.
To Bates, this amounted to de facto recognition of Sealand's independence. Fast forward 10 years. Everyone but Michael was away when Alexander Achenbach, a former business partner of Bates, started a coup d'etat, taking Bates' son prisoner and holding him without food for 4 days before transporting him to the Netherlands. Michael and his father soon regained control, rappelling from a helicopter armed with pistols and sawed-off shotguns.
Oh my god!
German-born Sealand citizen Gernot Punts, one of Achenbach's lackeys, was imprisoned for treason, and Germany sent a diplomat to negotiate. The second instance, Bates argued of de facto recognition.
Oh my god. It may seem like tomfoolery, but it's not without precedent. Other European micronations, including San Marino, Andorra, and Liechtenstein, all of which prosper as tax havens and gambling destinations, the Danish enclave of Christiania has prevailed despite attempts to close it down. The Republic of Sorgues, I guess, in eastern France, has its own president. The Italian Principality of Siborgo was ruled by Prince Giorgio I until his death in 2009.
Oh, Prince Roy passed away in October 2012 and was succeeded by Michael, who kindly met me at his mainland Essex residence. He's a formidable figure, tall and broad, with a gaze that pins you to your chair. Like Sealand, he looks like he can weather stormy seas. He's genial and, like Queen Elizabeth II, owns a Range Rover and is fond of dogs. Michael spins a great yarn over coffee. He reckons he spent 2 full decades on Sealand, often waiting weeks for a break in the weather to get to the mainland for supplies. He was frightened by Achenbach's terrorist, his word, back in the 70s. No, he says, chuckling, I was ready to kill the fuckers. I assume that's what he's saying. The cunts, whatever those little asterisks are. As many as 150 people lived on the island in its 70s heyday, but the numbers have since dwindled to just a few. These days, Sealand provides secure web hosting and data storage. Cash also comes in through the sale of collectible coins, stamps, and noble titles. We need titles. Lord James Sickone. Folks can visit, but it's suggested you send a note first. A Hollywood movie's in the works, and Prince Michael has written a definitive history titled The Principality of Sealand. And, perhaps more importantly, in July, the family welcomed baby Freddie Michael Roy to the fold. A fourth-generation prince to protect and serve Sealand's independence.
It just goes to fucking prove, no matter how small a nation is, they're still going to have terrorists and coups and all sorts of stupid
shit. What craziness! That's amazing.
Fucking formed a coup d'etat.
Yeah! That's amazing.
It was like probably two guys in a helicopter.
Yeah! That's, how badass, they repelled from helicopters with like shotguns retake sea land.
That is just fucking hilarious.
I
just love the fact that the fuckers were hooping and hollering at dude's sister and he fired warning shots at him. And the fucking corn's like, it's out of our jurisdiction, boys.
It's
they can do whatever the hell they want out there.
Foreign land, yeah. That's awesome.
Oh my god.
It's good to read something a little more uplifting. And more things like these are occurring. I always find it really, really sort of uplifting when people start their own sovereign nations like this.
I mean, they have their own passports, dude.
Yes.
Legal passports. That's just fucking awesome.
And multiple sort of national recognition to, you know, validify that it's a nation. I mean, Germany sent diplomats to conduct talks with them.
That is just...
You don't do that with not... Like, they wouldn't do that to, you know, a terrorist compound.
They
would send soldiers.
They sent a fucking diplomat to a man-made island.
Yes. Oh, I love that. They're...
Whose apparent population has never gotten above 150, apparently.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And apparently they need to go to the mainland for trades. I mean, you know, like... You know, fishing would be pretty good. So
you realize every time they go to the mainland, they'd probably have to show passports.
That would probably be funny. Yeah, that would be... I bet they're mostly British citizens, but...
We're from the sovereign nation of Sealand.
Yeah. Well, they have their own passports, so... What a good story. I like that.
That's just fucking priceless. That is. All right, so now it is time for us to move on into our main topic... About surviving during blackouts and power outages.
Yep, we were talking about this because you're sort of an accidental survivalist. You have survival gear, and then you're like, yeah, goddamn it, I guess I am a survivalist. Whatever. And I've drug you more into it over the years, and you've got not a centralized sort of blackout kit, but you have things because I've noticed the power here at your place tends to go out fairly often.
Yeah, a lot more often than I fucking like.
Yeah.
In situations like that, because of that, we've had to...
You get out the candles and...
We've had to start collecting fucking gear to survive during situations like that.
Yeah.
Still not as ideal as I'd like, but...
Yeah.
Like during the winter during one of the more harsher winters we had, power outages kept happening. And we ended up getting this, like, big heater that runs off one of those...
Kerosene?
Yeah, propane tank.
Oh, propane.
Big space heater that just runs off a propane tank. I mean, and that son of a bitch will heat the house like it's nothing.
Nice.
I mean, just crazy shit. Plus, I mean, we've also had, like, a campaign cook stoves and stuff like that that we only use, you know, during instances like that. It just works.
It does, yeah. I have my butane stove. And I like it. And the final check-in for that Coleman butane stove is it's about a week per canister.
About a week per canister?
About a week per canister. So it's $2.97 a week-ish.
So about $3 for a week's worth of cooking on it?
Yeah.
And how many meals are you doing a day? Like how many times during the day are you actually using it?
Probably once or twice a day.
Once or twice a day?
Yeah. So I'm making my morning like bacon and eggs and kale. And then I'm using a pocket rocket stove with its gas tank to cook. I should probably look at the speaker when I'm talking. To boil my water for my coffee. It's a little more efficient. And it gives me technically a second burner so I can do them both at the same time. Which is good.
Think about that.
So back to the thing. We'll get a quick overview. Flashlights and spare batteries.
Oh, God, yeah.
I usually like to keep all my stuff, like get a milk crate.
Mm-hmm.
Go get a milk crate. Keep all of your blackout stuff in that milk crate. And put it in a certain place. Tell your kids about that. Hey, kids. The blackout crate is here, so they don't freak out during the power outages, because kids freak out during power outages. They do. Then they know, you go to that thing, and you've got you know, your flashlights, your headlamps. Kids love headlamps. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves headlamps. I mean, headlamps are just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I like their hands-free.
Yeah, they get a kick out of it.
Yeah. So you keep your flashlights in there. Tea lights are good for emergency because they're so cheap. They're so cheap.
They're cheap. They don't take up hardly any room whatsoever.
Right.
Lighters.
Is
a must.
Yeah, keep them in there. Not to keep in there, but to keep elsewhere. And I keep one or two. Your wife has several. Just old-fashioned oil lamps.
Oh, yeah. We have oil lamps and
lanterns.
I mean, we have small ones, big ones.
Yeah.
And trust me, they do get used when the power goes out.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you the couple other things that I think are important, especially in a house where you have small children. You're going to want to keep either rechargeable supplies of entertainment, vis-a-vis like a Nintendo, Game Boy, DS, stuff like that.
Or my preference.
Books.
Oh, we're going different places.
Oh, what's
books,
your...
yes. Mine, board games.
Board games.
All sorts of...
Board games, decks of cards, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we have plenty of entertainment in that house.
Right.
If we're in the event of a blackout. Now, one thing that I actually like doing with the kids, and they love it when I do this, during a blackout, we'll just have I'll either buy a window if it's pretty light out, or if it's, you know, dark, you know, get some candles, lanterns set up or whatever. And we'll just have freaking old-fashioned story time where I'll just sit down and read to them all. One of our favorite blackout things, I'll read to them The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman, one of my favorite authors.
Shout out, yeah. What a good book.
Oh, and they love that. They really do. I mean, and it's a great way to get them focused, you know, get their minds off of, oh God, the power's out and all that crap. Which, I mean, last thing you need in any situation, survival, any kind of survival situation, blackout or otherwise, is panic.
Right.
That's just going to be a detriment.
It's funny. One of the new coaches at CrossFit, now that I'm CrossFitting again, Hillary, she likes to do this question of the day, like during the warm-out thing.
Question of the day.
Yeah, so she asks a question, and then you go around the whole group and you answer the question. Last question from this Friday was, what's your favorite book? And I thought about it, and, you know, I have quite the collection of books.
Uh-huh.
And I thought about it, and then... when it came down to it, the book that I've read probably the most, or at least listened to, because I've listened to it, is The Graveyard Book. The only thing I don't like about The Graveyard Book is it's not a sequel.
Yeah.
It's only as a standalone. Neil Gaiman nailed it with that book.
He really did.
So if you read
it... And that's probably why there's not a sequel. He probably hasn't figured out a way to keep it going with the same amount of reverence that the first one ended up with.
I know he's talked about doing a sequel, another book, but it would not be a graveyard book. It would be a further adventure of Bod.
Yeah, of Nobody Owens. Yeah. Bod.
Yeah. Nobody Owens.
I think he did something wrong with that, though.
What?
I mean, right at the end of it, he took away all of his powers.
Not all of them. He still retained some of his powers. He lost a lot of the... The grace of the graveyard, the powers he had there?
Yeah, he had the freedom of the graveyard.
But he had some inherent powers that he was born with, being that he was sort of the chosen one. I don't want to give away details because I want you guys to read it and or listen to it on audiobook.
Oh, yeah, spoilers.
Yeah, but it seemed like he lost some, but he retained some of his other powers.
Huh.
So he would still, it's interesting. I would love to see more adventures from Nobody. On to more things for disaster. So we talk about flashlights. Just sort of quick, sort of to go in depth. I like to think there's a hierarchy of battery needs.
Oh, God, yeah.
So this is my preference of like storing batteries and using batteries. For everyday use, I like rechargeable batteries.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard really good things about the Inaloop batteries. They're a little hard to find. It's a brand called Inaloop.
Inaloop.
They're supposed to be some of the best rechargeable batteries you can get. They're a little bit more expensive than some of the ones you can find in the store. You have to get them on like Amazon. But they recharge more and they have more milliamps, so they hold more power, so they last a bit longer.
Oh, wow.
So it balances out the end of the. You can get more recharges that. Don't quote me, but I think I heard like 10,000 recharges.
Wow.
Which, I could be making the number up, but it's a lot of recharges. and this wasn't working real well. I remember at one point they were in stores, and I think I may have had some, but I don't know. The ones I usually tend to get, well, one of my factors in things is if I can get it locally. Like, I really don't like ordering things off the internet a whole lot unless it's things I can't get locally at all and I have to drive a little far. But I'm really sort of brand loyal to Energizer. I'm not a Duracell. Excuse me, I'm not a Duracell guy. I like the Energizer high performance rechargeable batteries. Usually, I think they come in a green pack. They're rechargeable.
Yeah, I like some of those.
I like those. So that's sort of my first line of like normal everyday battery usage. You've got your rechargeable, so you can keep using them over and over. You want to have enough so that you can swap them back and forth. So
I only buy rechargeable batteries anymore.
Well, yeah. So that's my first level. And then, like, for my, I gotta have fucking power. I want reliable power, and I want the most power. I go to the Energizer lithium batteries. They're fairly expensive in the stores.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, maybe 4 AA batteries or AAA batteries are, they might be $9.
Okay.
Their power is fucking off the scale, though. Like, they just go and go and go and go. So during a disaster, I want to, like, if I need to, like, throw new batteries into my headlamp, I'm probably going to go for the lithiums. Because I know if I need them, really, really need them, I can trust the lithiums. I can trust them. For long-term disasters, multiple days, I'll start using the rechargeables and have a power recharging plan to recharge the rechargeables.
Right.
To keep using them. And then for super emergencies, I got the lithiums. And then, sort of like the last line of batteries, you get your shitty, cheap-ass batteries.
Right.
You just don't give a shit. You have them, they're cheap, you store them.
Yeah,
you know, like, two is one, one is none. You just got your shitty, cheap batteries.
Like, a great place to go for just, like, cheap batteries is, like, fucking Dollar Tree. Kind of, like, everything's a dollar type store.
Yeah.
Because they'll usually, like, the Dollar Tree that I go to out in Dixon, they have this whole section that's just batteries. I mean, you get, like, an eight pack of AA's for a dollar.
Yeah, I mean, like, if for some reason you don't have charged batteries mm-hmm. and you need a battery and it's not an emergency, I don't want to crack open my lithium batteries for a non-emergency. I want to reserve them for the emergency. So I'll break open my shitty dollar store batteries or whatever. I don't give a fuck. And then, you know, then I'll have my normal batteries recharged and, you know, I'll put the cheap ones back into, like, the cheap pile and use them again if I need them. If not, I'll just throw them away.
Now, you've actually got another, speaking of batteries and charging and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
and this is the whole nother level. This is, like, the mother load here.
Yeah, it's plugged into my house currently.
Yes, I have a battery backup. It's currently plugged in your house because the electricity in my house is still a little sketchy, but everything more or less works. I've got power running everything. I couldn't run some of the more intensive things, but everything works. But yeah, battery backup. And I built mine, I think, with income tax money.
Uh-huh.
$500.
Okay.
For knowing that during a disaster, short or fairly long term, I've got guaranteed power.
Why don't you tell them exactly what it is?
It's, you know, I did an article on it, and I'll look it up and link it in the show notes. I got a sort of a tough Rubbermaid box.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a
one of the more heavy duty ones.
It's a heavy duty one. It's sort of black and yellow, so it looks like, you know, a cautionary sort of, like,
exactly,
you know, tool thing. And I just I have extension cords inside of it. I've got a deep cycle marine battery. I only have one battery.
Uh-huh.
For more power and more redundancy and longer lasting power, you can go with two batteries and hook them. Forgive me if I'm saying it wrong. I think it's in parallel or series. So I always get them confused. I know how to do it right.
Uh-huh.
I know how to wire it right, but I forget which one it is, either series or parallel.
It's one of them.
It's one of them. This is where you basically hook the negative to the negative, the positive to the positive, and the batteries give each other power so that you have more power.
I thought it would be the negative to the positive and the S.
I don't know. But whatever it is, you hook it up that way. The details will be in the article that I linked to. Or Stephen Harris has a video series he sells on it you can watch where he goes in-depth and shows you all the things you should buy. Mine's sort of a cheap, quick, and dirty. Everything was bought at a Walmart. Deep cycle marine battery, probably $70 to $100. So that's most of your cost right there.
I can imagine that the battery itself.
You get a trickle charger, and I got whatever the Walmart brand was, and I got a good one that would keep the battery. You keep the battery topped off all the time. You always keep it plugged up because you maintain the battery, and it won't drop down below, you know, like 50% battery power, which will then like sort of degrade the cells and make it work. You know, if you
let it go dead,
you start your car for a while, your battery will go dead.
Yeah, you let it go dead, and it's going to decrease the life of it.
Right, right. You keep it charged all the time. It takes less power, and it won't kill the battery, and you always have power. Because, I mean, really, during disaster, you want to be like, oh, fuck, I didn't plug my battery up. I got no power now. I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want your battery to be topped off to the top. So you have all that power to run. So you have the battery, you have the turbocharger, and then you've got an inverter. I've got, I think, a 400-watt inverter on it, which will give you 400 watts of power. You know, it has things coming out. I think there's some power strips inside the box as well, and extension cords running out. And you have all that hooked together so that during the disaster, you just turn on your inverter, plug in your extension cords, and then plug in your necessary appliances to that. You're not going to run your whole house on this. You will run some other things. Like, during a disaster, you can charge your battery to keep your headlamps and your cell phones going.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. You can run a TV at a DVD player so your kids can watch fucking Frozen for the millionth time.
Oh,
and you don't have to hear them scream about how they're scared. Because that is good. If you build your power system just a little bit bigger than mine, the 400-watt inverter is a little iffy to run a refrigerator.
Right.
My refrigerator, which is small, mine's a large-size college fridge, really.
Yeah, it's like a college or dorm room office model.
Yeah, it's just the larger version that has, like, you know, a door for the freezer, a door for the refrigerator. Oh. It has enough room for me. It'll probably run mine. It won't run yours. Maybe. Maybe it could keep yours topped off a little bit.
Speaking of refrigerators and power outages, one thing I wind up doing, because if you don't know how long your power is going to be out, you don't want your food to go bad. As soon as you start opening doors on freezers, you're losing all your cold.
Yeah.
The first thing that we do, we will literally put strips of duct tape on it. It's not to hold it shut. It's just as that extra thing that, like, somebody gets it, you know, because you don't yank a refrigerator door.
Yeah.
You pull and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to leave that shut.
Yeah.
It's basically just to fight off your natural instincts and reflexes.
Another extra line of protection would be just to throw blankets over it. You would think that'd make it hot, but it keeps the cold in.
Well, yeah.
You just drape blankets over your fridge to keep it in there.
Insulation works both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my basic battery backup. You could probably charge cell phones and small appliances and stuff. You're not gonna run a coffee maker on this. That's when, like, the backup, you know, butane stoves and stuff come in handy.
Exactly.
But, you know, for that stuff, you can keep it going for a while. And what I like the most, if you can get your car close enough to where you keep your battery backup, and you have long enough jumper cables, you can top off the battery with your car. Your car works just like a generator.
You have to keep in mind, you have to turn the car on.
Yes, do not try to do that without your car.
You're just going to kill your battery.
You can use your gas. I mean, that's going to use your gas, but it's a generator.
Yeah.
And people going out looking for generators during disasters, you already have one.
Yeah.
You have a car, you have a generator. And you can use that top off your battery to keep things going. If you could keep a second level, that's probably your wife messaging us, asking if we're done yet. I know it is. You keep a second inverter in your car with higher things. You can turn your car on, hook up the inverter to your battery in your car while it's running, and then run an extension cord from your inverter from your car to your refrigerator and run it that way. The next level would be to get a standalone generator and go to the next level, you know, or even like have a power transfer switch. Do not make suicide cables. I thought about it. That's what I talked about making for my house to keep from running extension cords through the window.
Okay.
A suicide cable is basically where you have a double mel-ended cable.
Uh-huh.
So you plug it in to a plug, and then you plug the mel-end, the other mel-end, because it's two mel-ends,
right,
into, like, any plug in your house.
Okay.
Which, for my house, I have outside plugs, so I only have to run through the window. I can plug it into one of the outside plugs.
Right.
And then that'll run power to the house that way. Of course, if my house isn't hooked up to anything, but in a normal house, if you did that with, say, a generator, and you run it through a suicide cord to your house,
you're going to blow out your fuses.
No. But you're gonna send power up the line. So if you have people working on your power lines, you can kill them. Because they're not expecting power to be running through it, and you'll be sending power. So if you... I don't recommend it, but if you do it, turn off your breakers going to your house.
They shouldn't call it a suicide plug. They should call it a homicide plug.
Well, you got to be careful because you're handling a plug that's live on the metal end.
Ugh.
When you're plugging it in, that's... I mean, if you touch that, you're zapped.
Yeah, that just... Yeah, that seems so fucking dangerous.
It does, but also it's really convenient. I thought about running it because it would be a quick and dirty way. It's a light. You plug in the USB, makes light.
Oh, fine.
It would make energy. I've seen people do it a little bit safer. They've done sort of like the locking three-prong plugs.
Uh-huh.
So that way you lock it in there on your end so you can't accidentally pull it out and have live plug.
Yeah.
The other end can be normal. The other end can be just, you know, grounded three-prong. Because when you pull it out that way, it's not going to back the electricity.
Oof.
Yeah. So... that's another option. I haven't got to the generator yet. I do battery stored power that way. Car jump pack. I have one of those. That's sort of like super midterm charge a cell phone or something. That's about it. So what else? We talked about games. You definitely want to have some sort of, you know, entertainment during a small blackout. It's nothing major. If it goes a little bit too long, though, like you talk about taping your fridge door up, if it starts to go past, you know, probably more than a day, I would think about cooking everything in the freezer. If you have meat and stuff in the freezer, I would think about cooking all that because it'll keep it from spoiling and going bad.
Yeah,
if you have a house party or something, but... Mm-hmm. Instead of like go bad, I'd rather cook it. And then when you cook meat, it lasts a little bit longer that way. When you cook it, and then you can cool it. But yeah, until the I would probably leave the refrigerator sealed for 24 hours, and at that point, I would make a plan to start cooking it.
Okay.
Or recharging it, like I said, through your car or whatever.
Yeah. And one thing I cannot stress enough: non-electric can openers. Have at least two in your house.
Oh yeah, I have no electric can openers, and I have a couple of the military ones in my keychain, so I can always open a can that way.
You want to think Amish, especially if you're in an area that gets blackouts a lot. You want to think, go through your house and look at all your necessary tasks. Be like, how can I do this without electricity?
You know what? I saw a video from Cody Lundeen on opening a can. You just take the can and I. Pretty sure he did the bottom side, because the top side usually has that big lip on it.
Uh-huh.
So you do the bottom side, and you just sort of grind it on a rock or like a sidewalk.
Right.
And then it's thin enough that you can just grind it open, and then you open the can that way.
Interesting.
You just sort of rub it on a rock, and it just sort of grinds through, and then you can pop the bottom off.
Yeah, but then again, Cody Lundeen, he's not human.
He's a weird hippie, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was like exposed to gamma radiation at some point.
Yeah, he's... That's so weird. I thought he was so fat for like the first couple episodes of Dual Survival.
Then you see him without his shirt on, you're like, oh shit, that is all muscle. He's got kingpin.
He's a Thor beast,
He's got kingpin muscles.
You know how some people just have fat faces?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you just see people, you're like, oh, you got such a round face. Like Clara, you know, in the Doctor Who. She has a round face. If you saw her face, you think, oh, you're a little pudgy, but she's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Round faces throw people off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we talked about batteries, we talked about flashlights. Fuck, flashlights are cheap from the dollar store. Hide them in every nook and cranny.
Oh, God, yeah. And, I mean, hell, the Dollar Tree, I've seen them sell
multi-packs for a dollar.
Multiple types, like you're
with batteries.
Yeah.
Just buy those and throw them in all your junk drawers, under your beds, everywhere.
I mean, hell, you can go in there for $10 and get 10, like, pocket LED flashlights.
You know what I've never thought about before, but I just had the idea?
What's that?
Getting one of those cheap flashlights like that, putting Velcro on, you know, like you can get the Velcro that's like stick and pillow and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Put it on a wall next to the light switch. So during power outage, you can't turn the light on. You know where the light switch. No matter what, you always know where the light switch is at in your house.
Yeah.
Reach next to it, grab your flashlight, pull it off the wall.
Now, when I was growing up, my parents actually had a rechargeable flashlight that plugged into the wall.
Yeah.
As soon as the power went out, the damn thing would come on.
Yeah. You know, and I've not got these in my house right now. I don't have working outlets that would make a thing. But they sell these, they're basically night lights that only come on when the power's off.
That's brilliant. The rest of the time they're charging.
The rest of the time they're charging, the power goes out, they're plugged in the outlet, it just comes on. Mm-hmm. That way, I mean, it gives you light enough to, like, maneuver around your house. Not to read or see or do anything, but you can maneuver around without
tripping and falling. You know where stuff is without bumping into crap.
Yeah. I've always wanted to get those. In my tiny house now, it's almost not even... But I'd probably... I think in a bigger house, for sure. In my house, possibly one or two sort of backup power lights like that.
Right.
Would be really good. What else do we got? Oh!
Yeah.
Food that you don't have to cook. I mean, we talked about backup power, you know, backup cooking resources, obviously, which is great to have, and you can cook a real meal on that. But like we said, you're not going to want to get to your fridge. So having sort of in that crate that we talked about, throw in some like protein bars or fucking candy bars or something for the kids.
Yeah. Meals that are ready to eat.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know, most of the power outages are just for an hour or two, a couple hours. So just have like, you know, some quick, easy, like little bars, maybe, trail mix, peanuts, almonds, whatever, just sort of quick and easy. And especially for those of you that have kids, you want to have some comfort in there. So, you know, whatever their favorite candy or food is.
Plus nuts are a great source of protein.
Yeah.
That you don't have to cook. Right. I would recommend not eating them while you're recording a podcast though.
Yeah, we saw for the last podcast where we were eating that bag of almonds.
I'm not sorry.
And the audio was atrocious.
I'm not sorry for it. Those were.
It's terrible.
That's because you were doing it wrong.
Ugh. Jeff Radke doesn't eat nuts on his show.
Well, we don't know if he eats nuts on his show or not.
So he records his show while driving. Jeff Radke from Lost Skills Podcast, by the way. Shout out, use guys.
Use guys.
Yeah, if he was eating nuts while driving, that's just impressive. Driving, recording a podcast, eating nuts. Most multi-talented motherfucker in the universe.
Well, I imagine if he was eating nuts while driving, he'd have like somebody's torso blocking his face.
Oh my god. Fucking Balchinian.
Sorry, Jeff. You know we love you, though.
That's bad. I thought about having an episode where we just start fake pod beef with Jeff Radke and like, Radke, what's that? Motherfucking communist? Fucking Radke? Fucking red motherfucker? Fuck that motherfucker.
Well, we can't,
fuck him up his fucking ass.
We can't do it now. You've just outed us on the damn show.
Jeff Radke right now while he's listening, he just spit beer all over his fucking computer. He's like...
That's not a very Wisconsin nice thing to do.
Wisconsin nice. Oh my god. It's probably snowing already up there. Fucking communist snow. Yeah. Commie snow.
Oh god. You know, people in Canada, they love to make fun of Americans.
We'll show up, snow all we'll year.
Americans will show up at the Canadian border with fucking snow skis in the middle of July.
Yeah.
And Canadians just laugh at it. Because, you know, they're too nice.
Hey, you dumb. Anyway. We've gone up to almost an hour now. Awesome. You know what we didn't talk about today's episode?
The Nestle Media Crema table cream?
Oh, we do actually. Yeah, we should talk about that. So we can actually, Ian from work, the episode will go longer than an hour today because we're at 52 minutes and we got to talk about more shit.
I hope you're happy, Ian.
You fucking brownie eating bastard.
Brownie eating bastard?
Every time I see him on like his, so he, we, the, his my second day of work is his Friday. So on Friday morning or evening, Friday evening when we get off work, he's always buying like snack foods and bratwurst. He's like, "Oh, it's for the girlfriend. The girlfriend needs the brownies." I'm like, "Yeah, whatever, Ian. Your girlfriend weighs like 12 pounds and you're like 300. Girlfriend to eat these brownies. You're like, smell this. Smell this. Oh, it's mine. It's my brownie."
You know, I don't, you know, get Ian to send, give you one of his brownies. I'll autograph it for him and send it back with you.
Autograph it with your mouth. Nom, nom, nom. Anyway.
I'll send it back the wrapper with marker on it.
Yeah. Nestle Media Crema. So I talked about this last year. Obvious enough when we had that, when we had the snow apocalypse, but I couldn't leave my house for like a week. One of my major issues was I ran out of heavy cream for my coffee. So I was drinking, you know, plain black coffee for a couple of days, and I'm like, oh, really? Like, I looked up, and I found that you can find some, like, cream powder. You know, not like the nasty, like, fucking bullshit cream you find in stores that doesn't have cream in it. I love
that bullshit cream that you find in stores that doesn't have cream in it.
I don't like that shit. So plus I just wanted,
it can
like,
be used as an incendiary device.
It can. I don't want it. So I was looking for like some heavy whipping cream powder. You can find it on the internet. It's pretty pricey, though. It's pretty damn expensive.
Right.
If you look in stores in the ethnic food aisle where the Mexican food stuff is at, they have a little canister called Nestle Media Crema. Table cream. Nestle table cream.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like sweetened condensed cream, but it's just fucking canned heavy cream. Just a can of heavy cream. And I've been using that for the past couple of days.
It's sweetened?
No. It's like that sweetened cream you get, but it's not. It's just canned heavy cream.
Is it sweet at all?
It tastes like regular heavy whipping cream.
See, that's the reason I like the creamer, the powdered creamer.
Because you're sugar addicted.
I get a certain amount of sweetness out of it.
Yeah, because you're sugar addicted.
I'm not sugar addicted. You are. I just like sweet things.
Yeah, you're sugar addicted. You can't give
it
up.
It doesn't necessarily have to be sugar.
Sweet. Just
everything except sugar has a fucking aftertaste, though. Including stevia.
You want to get used to it.
No, I won't. I'd rather drink water.
Hey, okay, fatty.
I need caffeine. I need caffeinated water. That's my problem. In the morning, I need a big fucking bottle of caffeinated water.
So anyway, I got a can of the Media table cream, Nestle table cream.
Quit calling me fatty on the show, damn it!
Who's fat fatty? Look at fat fatty!
And fuck you.
It's like $1.50 or so for that little can. Did I show you the little can?
No, you didn't show me.
I'll show you. I'll show you. It's a fairly small can. It's fuck it. Let me go get the can and look at it.
After the show, just became right in the middle now. Of the show. Right, meow.
It is 7.6 ounces of cream.
Let me see. It's open.
It is open. It's been in my fridge.
You gotta warn me of shit like that. It has strawberries and macaroni in it?
No, but you can do it like that. It's sort of like
I don't want to do
canned cream. Anyway,
crema.
It's really thick too. It's like actually sort of whipped cream almost. It's thick and condensed. I've been putting it in my coffee for 3 days now. After you open it, you're gonna want to put it in your refrigerator during a disaster. Maybe
it is dairy based after all.
It is, yeah. But it tastes like heavy cream in my coffee. So I'm probably going to add this to my preps. So I have a couple cans of this during disasters. It solves my... It's local. I can go buy it. And it's not overly expensive like the powdered cream that I found, which I thought was like, I don't know, $12, $13 for a container of it. You know, where you compare that to, like, the bullshit, you know, creamer in a store that's, like, what, 90 cents or whatever for a tub of it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this, you know, for $1.50 or whatever for 7.6 fluid ounces, 225 milliliters for you people that have not landed on the moon. Suck it, bitches. I think it works. I mean, I'm not going to use it every day. I'm sort of testing it this week. But I'm going to add it to my prep so that during a disaster, I've got it from now on.
What I don't get about you is if you're this motherfucker that likes bitter so much, why do you put anything in your coffee? Coffee by itself is bitter as hell.
It is. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I like to drink it bitter. Sometimes I like to put a little cream in it to, more or less for me, I do it to add fat. I do it to add fat to the coffee keep me going. Some days I just drink coffee. I'm like on a day off sometimes, I'll wake up and not immediately eat breakfast. I'll just immediately like drink a cup or two of coffee.
Uh-huh.
You know, with a lot of, sometimes I'll add the cream and a tablespoon of coconut oil to add even more fat. And I'm good to coast for, you know, a couple of hours before I have to eat breakfast. So yeah, it's more or less for fat. You know, I started thinking about a link between people that dislike bitter foods and weight.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a correlation with, like, dislike of bitter foods and having a preferential... Like, I think when you become, like, sugar addicted, you completely... Like, there's not an appreciation of bitter foods. Like, kale, I like kale. People don't like kale because it's bitter. People don't like a lot of, like, greens that are bitter. People don't like bitter foods. I think they tend to be more overweight.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I mean, but it's a theory that I'm working on here. So, Nestle table cream, good. It's in your stores. Grab it. Stock up on it. It's yummy. So why don't you tell people about the Survival Punk Army? Because they want us. They want them. I want them. I want them.
The Survival Punk Army wants you, people. If you want to become some part of something better than yourself, bigger than yourself, if you want that extra added protection during the apocalypse, join the Survival Punk Army.
Yes, and we'll do more stuff. I got more episodes to upload to the Survival Punk Army. If you are a vendor and want to be featured to our exclusive club of people that will spend money with you, send me an email at jamesfrowpunk.com so you can get listed in there with a discount of the other 12 people. You can get things like SOE gear. You can get 10% off your SEO orders, special equipment operations, special SOE, special operations equipment. I've got their Cobra Riggers belt. It's amazing. One of our listeners, Wiandi, won my old belt. I'm starting to lose weight again, so there's a chance that the new belt will be up for grabs soon. So, lucky you guys. But yeah, you can just count on that in the Survival Punk Army. I had a new person join. For you, those of you who don't know, it's $50 a year, or you can sign up for the You Won't Even Notice It Ever $5 a month to get all the exclusive ebooks and other good stuff.
I mean, who the hell misses $5 a month?
Nobody.
Well, you know,
but it helps me out $10 a month. $5 a month. So it adds up, you know, I get enough people. If I had like 100 people at $5 a month.
That'd be $500 a month.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
That would be nice.
It would be.
You know what would be better than that? 10,000 people at $5 a month.
Yeah.
That'd be like $50,000 a month.
I
don't think you'd go back to work at Walmart.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
So tell a friend and join the Survival Punk Army.
Yes, because the Survival Punk Army wants you, and I want you, and you're awesome. And thank you to everyone that has joined the Survival Punk Army and supported the show and the work we do there.
Yeah. I'll sign stuff for you. I don't care. And plus, you'll get invites to upcoming Survival Punk Army events.
Yep.
Like the Gathering of the Survival Punks, which is going to be happening at some point. And the Survival Punk Army Frisbee Golf Tournament.
Yeah. I mean, if you're ever in Tennessee and you want to, like, just come hang out and play Frisbee with us, just drop me an email, jamesfrowpunk.com.
Yep.
We're not hillbillies. We won't kill you in the wood chipper.
I didn't marry into a hillbilly family, though.
Yeah. You're half hillbilly!
No, my kids are half hillbilly. You scared the horse, damn it.
Oh, my God.
There's
a horse out the window.
Yeah, that's Mona.
Yeah. But anyway, on that bombshell.
And on that bombshell, it's time for us to end. So, on behalf of the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett. Not a commie, not Burnetsky. Jeff Radsky is a commie. These guys.
And don't scare my horses. The Survival Punk Army wants you guys.
DIY Survival Power Rangers, use guys and kill commies!
Use guys!
Use guys.
Eat some nuts.